on Grim and Hasselback.
Get your sexy on.
Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 plus and in Tennessee to bet. Quick answer to a text we got. Our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Can you guys help me figure out what we drafted, Titans meaning, thanks to the Kevin Byard trade last year? I remember Jared losing his mind. Imagine Jared losing his mind.
I've never heard that before.
That
never
must have been a
that.
Really
losing
off day
your
for
mind
Jared.
And Jared doesn't go together.
They must have heard that on a terrible April Fool's.
So this would be on the list of days that Jared lost his mind, thinking it might have really helped our draft this year. Well, they got a fifth and the sixth for Kevin Byard, and so they turned that into. And this is, you know, only the beginning. We'll see what this turns into. But the fifth and the sixth round pick, Jarvis Brownlee, corner from Louisville. Mm-hmm. And then Jaquan Jackson, the roommate of Tajay Spears, right, from Tulane, the wide receiver. So we'll see what that turns into. Maybe nothing, but they would have gotten nothing had they held on to Kevin Byard, right? So only time will tell whether those draft picks turn into something. But you heard the music. It's time to bring in Tim Hasselbeck. And he is with ESPN, of course, head football coach at Ensworth, so doing the double duty, talking football with us as he always does. So, Tim, one thing, as we get through all of this post-draft analysis, that's where we are right now, roster evaluation, here's where the draft picks are, let's reassess what this team is. How do you see the Titans right now? Because I still think the consensus is going to have them. I think that what is fair is battling for third for the division title, but what is that accurate in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the general feeling is that I think, you know, certain issues have been addressed with the roster. I think people generally feel like, you know, the right moves were made. And I think the biggest question just still remains, okay, like how does Will Levis end up playing? Because when you look around the division, you say, all right, well, like Trevor Lawrence is gonna play well, and or that you think that he will. And then when you look in Houston, you know, that seems to be the darling that everyone wants to be excited about them based on how it went last year. And then, okay, Anthony Richardson is back throwing. You're probably more encouraged about his ability now than you were a year ago right after he was drafted. And so I think when you do all of that, you know, math, it's kind of easy to say, or like, what's the biggest question mark at quarterback in the division? And it's probably Will Levis, which is, I think, why when you forecast things out, people will have the Titans kind of earmarked where they have them earmarked.
Okay, so one thing that we've been kicking around a lot, because it's, I think it goes to what your philosophy is on Levis, which, as you said, is the central question to everything they do. If he pans out, then they're going in one direction. If he doesn't, they're going in a completely different direction. So supporting him is going to be important. But at the same time, you're trying to develop a roster. So I think it's a classic dilemma. You've got Boyd, the veteran wide receiver who's a free agent that has a past with the coach. You kind of know how he would fit. And you've also already spent money on two veteran receivers in Ridley and Hopkins. So it's tempting to say, give me the other guy. Then he'll have three veterans, and you really have a chance to support a young quarterback. And then you also have Treylon Burks, who is a third-year player who hasn't hit, hasn't come close to hitting. Availability is a big part of it. But one of the reasons you're trying to get more out of him is by changing the head coach and changing the offensive coordinator. So what's the right path to take? Would you rather, Tim, if you're the GM, have the extra veteran, or would you rather leave a little more space for Burks to try to make it happen?
I think you got to leave more space for Burks, because I think that you could probably, you know, just say, okay, been some injuries, just been lack of offensive production, quarterback play, whatever. So it's, I think in some ways it's probably reasonable to say we can't put it all on him. And I think this, I think you need to, like, to me, it feels like when you look at some of the additions that the Titans are gearing up for, you know, stepping on the gas with having a quarterback on a rookie contract, but not yet going all out for it because you don't know if he can play or not yet. And so the reason I say that is, like, listen, like, you just look at, you know, some of the additions, whether it's, you know, it's Pollard or Ridley, you know, the fact that, you know, Hopkins is back for another year, you're investing in the offensive line. Like, to me, it definitely feels like, all right, if Levis plays well, like, now that's your green light to go step on the gas. And it's probably on the defensive side of the ball as much as it's on the offensive side of the ball. But, like, that's what it feels like to me. And so I think it's premature to basically say, like, yeah, we're going to have three veteran wide receivers. Like, I don't know that I would go that route, you know, meaning, like, bring someone else in. That's why I think I would leave room for Treylon Burks.
We talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach at the Innsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, I'm going to get a little bit away from the Titans because I think we've sort of, you know, debated this and went through the Titans roster and whatnot as many times as we possibly can. But I want to focus on the other teams in AFC South. How difficult do you believe? Because we see this a lot with teams in the NFL when they're at the bottom for so long and then they get a few draft picks. We saw with Jacksonville 2 years ago where they finally came on and ended up winning the division. We saw it last year in the Houston Texans. What is the biggest obstacle the next following season, say for Houston Texans? Because this is the team that many feel not only is going to win AFC South, but ultimately may be an AFC championship game.
Yeah, I think it is always interesting when we talk about just expectations, right? Mm-hmm. And so and managing the expectations, like that I think is, you know, it is a little bit interesting. You know, we when you don't expect somebody to be good, and I don't care what anybody said, nobody expected you know, the Texans to be good a year ago. I mean, they just, you know, they got it right with some wide receivers. I mean, just look about it with C.J. Stroud. Like, I would just say this. He threw for over 4,000 yards. So, like, now the expectations are going to be like, hey, he always throws for 4,000 yards. You know, he only threw 5 picks. So now the expectation is, well, he's not going to turn the ball over 10 times or more, right? And, like, then I just would also say this. You know, he threw 23 touchdowns. So, and I think this is interesting. Like, we've seen guys throw over twice that many touchdown passes in a season. Like, he was the offensive rookie of the year. He threw 23 touchdown passes. I'm not knocking his year. Had an incredible year. Did a great job. But there's no way that the expectations year in and year out are going to be that, like, you throw, you know, fewer than 25 touchdowns. Like, now the expectation is going to be like, hey, man, like, you're a 35-plus touchdown guy if, like, you're going to be the guy. So I think the biggest thing for a team, for a quarterback, for all that stuff is just managing the expectations, because when people are expecting you to win, now all of a sudden you drop 2 games in a row, it can feel like the sky is falling. And you know that from being a player. Like, you know, the locker room feels like a funeral home at that point. And so I think that's the biggest challenge is kind of the mental toughness through that with expectations.
Now, do you think they you know, run away with this division? Because I'm looking at every other team below them. Jacksonville, still trying to figure out the offensive line. They got to replace Calvin Ridley. You don't know how the quarterback's going to look, even though he has immense talents. He still makes those mistakes, cringeworthy mistakes, sort of like Josh Allen at times. Mm-hmm. Then you got Indianapolis. They're, you know, nursing their starting quarterback back to health right now because of his injury. And then obviously the Titans. So these teams underneath the Houston Texans all have their warts, and I'm sure Houston has theirs as well. But which team you believe is closer to Houston in this division?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jacksonville probably, but you're right. Like, they've got legitimate, you know, issues and holes to fill. Like, and I think the other aspect of it is, like, a year ago when we were talking about the Colts, they had an unhappy running back, mm-hmm. and that was causing drama for their football team. and they drafted a quarterback that had 13 starts, and you had no idea if he would be any good playing in the pros. I mean, like, and so as we sit here, you know, today, look, I think we know a lot more about Anthony Richardson than we did a year ago. Now, he didn't play a ton, but he played some, and I think that, you know, there probably should be general excitement and optimism in terms of, you know, how he would play. Jonathan Taylor is not, you know, in some type of holdout. And I think most people feel like they drafted well. So, like, the Colts actually are a team that, like, probably most teams are not talking about as being one of the two best teams in the division. But, like, there's a chance they end up being the best team in the division. Hmm. Like, a decent chance.
Now, which one of these teams you believe is – and I'm and now I'm sort of getting outside the AFC South, just the AFC in general, because I think all of this still plays into how the Titans fare during the season. Which one of these teams, or teams, plural, do you think is headed downward? I look at teams like Buffalo because of them getting rid of trading Stephon Diggs, and now all of the pressure is on Josh Allen. I look at a team like that with the head coach that is on a hot seat. They could be one of those teams that is going in reverse rather forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, when I look at teams, and I think there are a lot of teams, like when we look at the change that they have, like, mm-hmm. you know, Baltimore's had significant change, but do they have the makeup to kind of to deal with it? Think about the change Kansas City's had, lost all kinds of people around their quarterback, but, like, you know, they deal with it. They get through it. You know, I think teams, you know, when the leadership is good between head coach and quarterback, you know, they manage that change. They do a good job of dealing with that change. I think the teams that don't are the team, like, take this for example. Like, I think that Jalen Hurts is a great leader. I think he does an excellent job, you know, with leadership stuff, you know, for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think when you look at last year, I think Nick Sirianni kind of failed the team as a head coach just in terms of how he manages coordinators and all of that. And so, like, you know, it kind of felt like it was falling apart, and that's for a team that won 11 games. So, you know, I think there's so much turnover every year. And sometimes it's key guys, you know, from a stats and production standpoint. Sometimes it's key guys for other reasons. You know, it could be a coach. But I think that, you know, when you are strong in terms of, you know, having a guy that makes guys around him better, the quarterback, you know, or you have a coaching staff that does a great job of kind of relating to the guys that you do have and recreating something new since guys have changed, like, that's the challenge each and every year, not just, hey, how much talent is returning? And if it's more, we're going to have more success.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, you guys had a, what was it, spring game this weekend? How did it go?
We had a little spring ball. Mm-hmm. D-Mace, we had, you know, the weather this time of year does not really like to cooperate, you know, so got to be careful. You know, my family's history with lightning strikes. And so when that happens, you get forced to move inside of the gym, but it's been great to be out, get a little football in, even though it's the middle of track and baseball season, for a lot of our kids, but it was good, man. It was really good. I'm still waiting for you to drop by practice. I don't know why that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, it will. It just couldn't happen Saturday. As much as I wanted to, I had to do an NFL alumni thing. You know how those things go. Mm-hmm. But I will be there. I will be a frequent face over at Innsworth, even though my kids graduated like 20 years ago from that school. I didn't know whether you guys stayed outside because it was, I think, it bad storms or weather. I didn't know whether you guys were able to finish it all or not.
What was it, Saturday, man? I think it felt like we got about 4 inches of rain in about 30 minutes. We're not afraid of the rain, but obviously yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky trying to thread the needle. And I actually got moved inside last night for the practice. And I've found myself now as a high school head coach, like, I check my weather app maybe more than, you know, in the last.
It's become one of your best friends, huh?
Yeah, it's like my new best friend now. I'm going to be a meteorologist, you know, by the end of this day.
Oh, good grief.
It's crazy. But it's a lot of fun, but definitely more fun when you can be outside.
Exactly.
Tim, before we let you go, this is something I think we talked about last year with Brock Purdy's arm injury. And this year I'm watching Joe Burrow going through the steps of recovery to his arm injury. But isn't it crazy? And I would love to know the science here, but you look at baseball right now, and they have an epidemic of arm injuries. Mm-hmm. They can't keep the pitchers on the mound. Pitchers are throwing harder than ever, and the arm just can't take it, right? And everybody's trying to figure out, how do we rein this in? But in football, you can have a bad injury, and it always seems like a guy is able to come back and be functional for the most part. Maybe you lose a little bit over time, but there aren't as many situations that I can recall through history where, like, well, he had Tommy John surgery, or he hurt his arm, he can't come back. But why is that? What's the science behind that?
I mean, you know, my guess on the science of it is, you know, you're throwing a heavier ball, you know, in football. And so, you know, like the whip action of throwing is not the same. So it's actually not the same amount of strain, you know, throwing a football as it is, you know, throwing a baseball. And, you know, you're a former baseball player, you kind of know that. I mean, that's why, you know, a guy pitches and look like, you know, you got mandatory rest for a guy that pitches, where, you know, in football, you get to training camp, like, and you used to, you know, you're throwing multiple times a day. So
that's,
you know,
crazy to me that it never seems to have a wear and tear.
Yeah.
Just the way the ball is shaped, the way that the science of it is. It's ironic because in football, you have all these other injury concerns for everybody.
Yeah, and I also think this, like, you know, you see guys, like, hey, you're on the 15-day DL because you have a blister on your fingers. You know, I mean, I think, you know, like, meanwhile, you know, Brett Favre's got a broken thumb. It's like, yeah, hey, just go throw the football.
Just,
like,
tape it up. You know,
there is an element of that that's different. But I also think that there's also not the same precision, right? So it's not the same precision in terms of getting a ball to move while still throwing a strike. You know, is different than, you know, throwing a go route that a receiver who's an amazing athlete has the ability to adjust to, right? So I think there are a lot of components in terms of, like, the actual detailed, like, accuracy, you know, is not it's not as big of a thing. So I think there are all of those factors. But, and I will tell you this, I had a conversation we were talking about on NFL Live, you know, later today. Like, the reality is, like, we do take some of these things for granted. Like, oh, hey, Burrow's, you know, wrist, yeah, he'll be fine. You know, Anthony Richardson's shoulder, yeah, he'll be fine. Because, Willie, to your point, guys typically have been fine. And, you know, like, Purdy is the example from a year ago. Like,
absolutely.
Basically fine. And so, like, I do think, in, you know, sometimes we take it for granted that that's how it'll work, because it isn't always the case, but it seems to be the majority of the time it is that way.
Tim, great stuff as always, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, sounds good. See you guys.
All right. Tim Hasselbeck joining us here on 102.5 The Game.